This is Macro Analytics, delivering frank conversations on global macroeconomics and market analysis outside the mainstream, featuring discussions and debates between Gordon T. Long, publisher and editor of GordonTLong.com, and his guests. The content of this discussion is strictly the opinion of the participants. It is in no way a solicitation for business, nor is it to be considered investment advice of any sort. Always consult a registered investment advisor before making any investment decision. These discussions are extremely hard-hitting and terribly frank, and parental discretion is advised. Now, on to the show.
Good morning. I'm Gord Long with GordonTLong.com. As part of our ongoing series on financial repression, I have Guillermo Barba joining us this morning from Mexico. Guillermo is a Mexican economist and financial blogger writing for Forbes Mexico. He is also a follower of the Austrian School of Economics. Welcome, Guillermo.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, I've been looking forward to talking to you. You'll be the first person I've had on the show, and we've had over 60 people on financial repression, but from Mexico, and not that many from South Latin America, et cetera. Then, so I'm really looking forward to some of your views on it. Could you give our listeners just sort of a background of your involvements?
Yeah, sure. Well, I am a Mexican economist. I studied at the National Autonomous University of Mexico, and I became an economist when I graduated from. I didn't become an economist when I graduated from school, but until I met the Austrian School. I didn't even hear about the Austrian School of Economics during my entire career in the university. And you know, everything was about Keynes, about Marx, and in Mexico, you might not believe me, but in Mexico, Marxist theories are still currently being taught to students in Mexico. That's a huge problem because socialist thinking is one of the cancers of the world and it's a cancer for the economic development. And that's a huge problem. And until I met the Austrian School, I became a real economist. And so I'm a student of Professor Anton Pechetta too. He's the founder of the new Austrian School of Economics. And I like his theories. I like some of his, I think he has some points, some good, very good points. And I've met him several times in Europe. I've interviewed him several times. And that's why I realized that the Austrian School has the appropriate theories to explain the current economic mess in the world. So basically that's why I started my blog. My blog is called Inteligencia Financiera Global, meaning in English, Global Financial Intelligence, because I realized that the truth was not being told to Spanish speakers. There are not too many good financial writers like Miss Shedlock in the world in English, but in Spanish there are even a little few. There are only a very few people that write from the Austrian perspective. That's a problem, and that's why I started my own blog, and that's what happened.
I'm really looking forward, as I said earlier, to your views on financial repression. That's what this series is about, is on financial repression, but from a Mexican perspective.
Yes.
And what got you involved in the Austrian in school. How do you define financial repression, and what does it mean to you?
Okay, as a Mexican, I think Mexicans know perfectly what financial repression means, because living in the neighborhood of the United States of America, so that's a lot of financial repression, but not from the common perspective. The world, the entire world is suffering. The entire population of the world is suffering financial repression, and that's because if we talk about financial repression, it is because there are financial repressors. That's the problem. And who are those financial repressors? Well, I have to tell you something that Hugo Salinas Price, I think I know you know him.
You've interviewed him too.
Yes, Hugo Salinas Price once told me that about a group of 1,000 people rule the entire world, and even a smaller group inside these 1,000 people control most of the decisions in the world. And I think that most of them are bankers, private bankers, of course. And the bankers and politicians are ruling the world not for the benefit of the people, but for their own benefit. So that's one of the problems, because the entire system, the entire monetary and economic system is working on a terrible basis, because in the basis is a system of fraud, basically. It's a scam. The entire monetary system is a scam, because they print money like crazy. They make people to get into debt, because governments, of course, governments get into debt, but the government has no money by itself. The governments have money because of the of taxes, because of the people, because people pay for the expenses of the government. So basically, there are financial repressors in the world, and the world, and they control the entire monetary system basically on the U.S. dollar. In the U.S. dollar is currently a terrible flawed currency, and if the currency reserve the reserve currency of the world is flawed, well, the entire system is a scam. So in order to the system to keep working, they need to keep governments and people getting into debt. Debts, basically. Debts must grow exponentially, or the entire system collapses. That's exactly what happened last time during the financial crisis in 2008-2009. The credit collapsed, and of course the depressionary pressures started to work. And they're still working. The deflationary pressures. So that's a problem, because if the entire system is a scam, and it is, well, they are not solving the problems, because they're trying to solve the problems with exactly the same measures that created this problem. That's expanding debt, imprinting a lot of money, and trying to push people to spend and not to save. And this is insane. Because if you spend and not save, well, as an ocean economist, I know that the importance of savings. Savings are the base, are the cornerstone of development, because savings are the cornerstone of capital. And capital accumulation is what the world needs, not debt accumulation. Debt accumulation is unsustainable. Capital accumulation is sustainable, not debt. So if we keep on this system of of debt and fiat currency, well, we are going to be talking about financial repression.
How does it end? What does the roadmap look like in your mind over the next year or 2 years, as this financial repression is gaining broader and broader measure around the world?
Well, I think the roadmap is that the entire system will eventually collapse. I don't know when. Nobody knows. I know, only know that that's going to happen, and that's what I'm preparing for that catastrophe. Because the last 2008 and 2009 crisis would look like a picnic in comparison, because in this I have interviewed Jim Rogers too, and he told me that. And the U.S. dollar is going to probably inflate its own bubble, because and I agree, because Europe is in trouble, China is in trouble, Japan is in trouble, and the world is in trouble. And in comparison, America, the United States, look like an oasis. So in this case, imagine that's a problem. The America looks like an oasis. And if the United States is an oasis, well, you know, this is the size of the problem we have, because America looks good in comparison. So what's the currency of the United States? The dollar. So the dollar is going to get stronger and to inflate some bubble, because people, even if the U.S. dollar is not a store of value in reality, well, people think it is. And so, and people, not much people know about gold, but a lot of people, almost all the people know about the U.S. dollar. So they will buy dollar, and they will rush to the dollar. And probably this will inflate the largest bubble in the history of the world, the U.S. dollar, and of course, the U.S. Treasury bonds. And so, in my perspective, yields are going to keep collapsing, and the U.S. dollar is going to go to the roof. And if that happens, well, the currencies like the Mexican currency, the Mexican peso, and the currencies of the developing world, developing countries, I mean, are going to collapse too. And if the US dollar inflates its own bubble, well, it will be a great opportunity to exchange your US dollar for another real assets like gold and silver, agricultural commodities, and things like that that have huge value. And those assets are going to be very undervalued in comparison to the dollar. And then if the dollar becomes a bubble, it will be a huge opportunity to sell your dollars before the final collapse. Do you know the US dollar is going to collapse eventually? And that's unavoidable. And debts keep growing and growing in the United States and in general in the world, of course. And when the US dollar inflates as a bubble, well, the only way to go is to go down. And that will happen. And that's going to happen because nothing has been solved in the last financial crisis. And financial repressors will keep printing money like crazy, and this won't stop until the entire system collapses because they don't know what else to do. They only know to print money and push people to get into debt and more debt every day. And by definition, debts cannot grow exponentially and forever. That's impossible. Sooner or later, you have to pay. All the invoices have to be paid. So sooner or later, they're going to pay. And a lot of people are going to suffer. That's why behind the curtains, many, many people are buying gold and silver at a staggering amounts, mainly in Asia, because they're preparing for the collapse of the system. And that's what people should do in general. That's why I promote that people should put some of their money in gold and silver, because gold and silver are real money. Though they are very solid assets and a real source of value. Basically, because when you have gold and silver in your own hand, those assets are not a liability in nobody else. Are not a liability. It's not a liability that is in someone else's sheet. I mean, in balance sheet. I mean, so when, for example, people in Greece know that they thought they had money in their banks and they cannot take out their money out of the bank because their money is actually their assets are actually a liability of the bank and banks are bankrupt and the entire and Greece is a reflection of the world actually. But if you have gold and silver, well, that's your asset and nobody's liability. And that's a protection against the entire collapse of the financial system, and that's going to happen. I promise that's going to happen. I don't know when, but I promise that's going to happen. I'm sure.
As Cyprus was a precursor where we started to see things, the beginnings of bail-ins, Greece is a precursor of what we're going to see, I believe, in North America in terms of these bail-ins that it looks like about 8,000 euros minimum and ATMs being locked up or partial allowing only so much money to come out. So this whole war on cash bail-ins is moving very, very quickly to stop bank runs, if you would, by restricting the cash. What has all this meant to Mexico? What has it meant to your country?
Well, I'm very worried, actually, because in my country, only a very few people know about this. You know, it's unfortunately not many people know about what's happening in the world currently. Most people watch TV and most TV programs say that everything is good and the economy is growing, that Mexican fundamentals are very strong, our peso is devaluing, but don't worry, everything is okay. This government has made a lot of structural reforms where Mexico is going to grow, you know, all this BS word that the government say. The government is lying, basically. And unfortunately, most people are believing what they are being told. And that's a problem because they want to suffer. And, you know, the peso has been devaluing since last year. But people are happy and Agustin Carstens, the president of the Bank of Mexico, is very happy because inflation is very low. in Mexico. It's in historic lows. Inflation in Mexico, measured by the consumer price index, is in historic lows. So they're very happy, yes. But I say, well, you know, you are not looking at the correct index, because if you look at the U.S. dollar, that's where inflation is. You are not. They're saying that your purchasing power is being kept safe because inflation is very low. But no, not at all. Inflation is in other assets. For example, in this case, in the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar is going through the roof in Mexican peso terms. And I think that this trend will continue. So purchasing power of Mexicans is being wiped out, basically. And here in Mexico, not many people know about or care about gold, but a lot of people know about silver. That's why I support the idea of monetizing the Libertad silver ounce, like Hugo Salinas Price proposed some years ago. Because that's a simple way to protect yourself, protect your assets, protect your purchasing power, protect your savings from the bad policies of the government. So Mexico is a little ship that is a chain to the Titanic. When the Titanic, this America, when America collapses, well, Mexico is going to suffer a lot too. So we have to. I think that Mexico, in general terms, is doomed too, like America. Unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that people cannot be saved. People have to protect by themselves, basically, buying gold, silver, and doing other things to protect themselves, because their government is not going to save us. And that's true for Mexico, that's true for Greece, and that's true for Spain, for America, for China, for Japan. The governments don't save people. They make people poorer. They make people get into debt, they tax some people, and that's a problem. So you have to take self-defense measures, financial measures, against the full policies of the government. And that applies to Mexico and to any citizen in the world.
In your writings, have you got any sense about South America, Latin America overall? Any comments you could share with our listeners?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Yes, talking about South America and Latin America, what's your views there? Is it similar to Mexico's? And I'm thinking about your writings that you've been doing.
Yes, I think that, unfortunately, I think that the future of Latin America is going to be very complicated, because if the in general, for example, commodities, if commodities prices are going to suffer, and I think that's going to happen in the next years, well, Latin America is going to suffer too. For example, Brazil depends almost a lot on China, as Mexico depends on the United States. And basically, in Argentina has been in trouble for decades. So in the most important economies, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, and some other countries, have been in trouble since the last century. So that's not going to be solved soon, because unfortunately, in Latin America, and socialist policies are being applied every day. In Latin America, they think that they are not doing the correct things, like in Asia, for example. In Asia, they, in general terms, they are applying open market policies and capitalist policies. That's not the case in Latin America. In Latin America, people and the governments think that the government needs to protect our economies, to protect their economy, to close our markets, And that's the incorrect path to a sustainable growth and economic development. That's the incorrect path. So they're following the incorrect policies, and they blame on the U.S. dollar. They blame on financial repression, but they are financial repressors too. Most of governments in Latin America. So that's a problem, because socialism is still in the roots of the political thinking of the people. And they have been told for decades that the government needs to control the economy, or to manage the economy, and to save the people and to protect people from the capitalists of the world that want to destroy your economy. That's not true. Free markets are the way to develop economies, and there are hundreds of examples around the world in history. So, but Latin American politicians don't think so. They would like to control people. They don't want to. There are no libertarians actually in Latin America. Only very few people. And that's a problem. That's what a lot of people, a few people like me, are trying to push the libertarian policies. The pushing for an open market for capitalist policies. For the freedom of speech, etc., and that's not unfortunately that's the exception in Latin America and not that common, unfortunately.
Guillermo, we're up against our hard line. Fascinating insights. It's nice to see somebody with these views in Mexico, and I really do wish you luck, because even in America, it's a tough story to get people to realize. As you said earlier, people aren't saving, and that's the core of capitalism. And
exactly.
As a friend of mine writes, we have creditism, and that is we're using printed money for consumption. And the problem with that is printed money is not wealth, and without wealth, you don't have the collateral to sustain debt. And
exactly.
So suddenly you don't have the cash flow on too high a debt levels, because it's not being invested as capitalism into productive assets. It's being invested into consumption. The United States, 70% consumption economy. That's why exponentially it fails. It just can't grow geometrically, because it's in the definition of the arithmetic. And especially when you're as the United States is, a 70% consumption economy. So, and you made very good points, South America, in terms of commodities, because of the slowdown we're clearly having around the world, which will impact those economies also. We have to break. Any last message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I wanted to thank you, and I hope to be here with you once again in the future. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely. Is there any place that they could find your work and your writings that's in English or translatable?
Yes, actually, sometimes I usually do my interviews in English, because I interview English speakers, basically. And then I translate them into Spanish and then publish them here in Mexico. But you can find my personal blog, Inteligencia Financiera Global, or seek for it in Global Financial Intelligence, and you will find my interviews, some of my articles I write in English, and I invite you to read them.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Same for you.
Bye-bye.
Gordon T. Long, editor and publisher of GordonTLong.com. New recordings are posted regularly and can be found at GordonTLong.com. New show notifications are available through RSS feed, iTunes, and other social networking venues at GordonTLong.com.